I would like to make this a bit more of an interactive presentation. It's not a full hour length lecture. So I'm going to take questions from the floor, and I'll repeat them as best I can for the sake of it getting recorded. But I'd like to have it to be more of a class atmosphere, perhaps even more so than earlier this morning. But before I do that, I would just like to read to you a news item that was just issued today by the Associated Press. So since you're in isolation now at Mount St. Michael and don't get your morning newspaper check the news on the internet, whatever you do for news, I'll read this for you. But from the Vatican City, Pope Benedict XVI has decided to loosen restrictions on the use of the old Latin Mass. A Vatican official said Wednesday, a major concession to ultra-conservatives. That's you and I, okay? Who split with the Vatican to protest reforms. The decision is part of the Pope's efforts to woo back Catholics who joined a rebel archbishop in protest over the changes. So they think, of course, here mainly of the Society of St. Pius X. The Pope's intent is to, quote, help overcome the schism and help bring the ultra-conservatives back to the church, said the official who asked that he be not identified because the papal document has not yet been released. It was not immediately clear when the Pope will make his decision public, but the official said it was expected soon. Now, my comment is actually going to be very brief on this, and I would quote Father Anthony Cicada, who gave a sermon on this very point a few months ago. And he made it very clear, and I hope you remember this. He says, yes, Benedict XVI will give you the Mass, but he won't give you the faith. He's going to demand that you accept Vatican II in its entirety. He's going to have you accept all of the liturgical changes, every official pronouncement coming from the Vatican since Vatican II. And as we know, that's harmful, that's destructive of the faith, if not outright heretical. So it remains to be seen what happens. I don't think we will be that easily fooled because we know what matters the most. And I feel really privileged to have been able to give that talk this morning on faith being the first condition of salvation. That's the most important thing. You can get to heaven without the Mass, as Father Cicada pointed out. Think of people in times of persecution who never had the Mass. Catholics of Japan who didn't have a priest for 200 years. You can get to heaven without the Mass. In dire straits, it's possible, but you can't get to heaven without the faith. So as important as the Mass is, as important as it is as the heart of our faith, the faith needs to come first. So anyway, just wanted to start off with that. Okay, at this time I have copies of the going to be passed around. If we can do this as expeditiously as possible, just maybe take a few and pass it around to your tables. And this is the official commentary that we had as the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen in 2000 when the Third Secret of Fatima was purportedly revealed. And so I would like you all to have your own copy of it. You may have the Reign of Mary issue. I think it was, I forget what number it was. But anyway, it was in 2000. And so I want you to take a look at this because it's very relevant here. And for the most part, we stand by what we wrote then. So, now you'll notice on page 2, we have the actual texts of the first and second secret. And along with that, the text of the third secret allegedly released in, as we said, in 2000. It was actually released right at the end of June The date is off here a little bit, or at least it was on the website as of July 26th of 2000. So let's read through this and at least parts of it. On May 13th, 2000, the momentous announcement was made at Fatima that the third Fatima secret would finally be revealed. On June 26th, the Vatican officially released the text of the secret, complete with a purported facsimile of Sister Lucia's writing of the same in 1944 and commentary on the same by Cardinal Ratzinger. As the official publication of the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen and of its Fatima Apostolate, the Reign of Mary makes the following observations. Number one, it is difficult, first of all, to trust the modernist hierarchy of Vatican II to correctly teach on matters regarding the Catholic faith. After all, this same hierarchy has officially taught the heresy of false ecumenism, promulgated a mass that does not validly confect the Holy Eucharist, and is harmful to the faith. All traditional Catholics agree on that, at the very least, that it's harmful to the faith. It will weaken, if not destroy, your faith. And instituted evil liturgical and canonical practices. Moreover, when one considers the likelihood of top cardinals in the Vatican being Freemasons and the allegations of Satanism being practiced in the Vatican, one can scarcely have confidence in revelations made by the Vatican. And as I go through this presentation, I think you'll see that there are some very serious unanswered questions about this whole issue. And actually, I don't have a definitive answer to give you today, but at the very least, I want to say that I'm raising the serious questions that have not been answered. And of course, this is very relevant to our Fatima conference. We would like very much to know what Our Lady said in that third Fatima secret, to see how it applies to us and what we need to do about it. Number two, the third secret was to have been revealed in 1960. According to Vatican sources, the year was determined by Sister Lucia based on her intuition that the situation would become clearer then. So that's what's on the official Vatican declaration in the year 2000. It was a long explanation published or authored by Archbishop Tarcisio Bertone, the Undersecretary of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, who was the underling of Cardinal Ratzinger at the time. And according to this, it says that it was an intuition. But if I can now point out to you something that was revealed in 1952, which shows that there is a real contradiction. So right now the Vatican's saying this was an intuition of Sister Lucia that it should be revealed in 1960. This was in 1952 when Canon Berthas interviewed her. He asked her, "When will the third element of the secret be revealed to us?" Already in 1946, to this question, Sister Lucy and the Bishop of Liria answered me uniformly, without hesitation and without comment, in 1960. This is 1952. It's supposed to be revealed in 1960. And when I pushed my audacity so far as to ask why we must wait until then, I got the same answer from both the bishop and Sister Lucy, because the Most Holy Virgin wishes it so. That's what we were told in 1952. Now in the year 2000, we're supposed to believe that it was just a feeling, a gut instinct that Sister Lucia had. This is a serious problem, an unanswered question. Not only that, what we knew beforehand is that it would be more relevant. Things would be more understood in 1960. So that's why it was a crucial date. Well, what happened in 1960? John the 23rd, I believe it was 1959 or 1960, had an inspiration to have a council. And this was going to be the council that was going to let in some fresh air into the church. Yes, the stink, the stench, the destruction. That's really what was happening. Now, if so, obviously there must be some kind of correlation there. If the third Fatima's secret was going to give a green light to Vatican II, then I'm sure it would have been revealed. But I tend to believe the opposite. Okay, let's go back to our commentary again. So it is not logical to surmise that a 40-year delay was in accord with our Blessed Mother's wishes. All right, moving on to number three. There are inconsistencies in the handwriting as compared to other monographs of Sister Lucia, not to mention grammatical problems as well, with phrases like half in ruins and half trembling. There's a problem there. There's at least a lack of clarity, and one doesn't see that in the first and second secrets. I invite you to turn back as often as you wish to the other side to start, you know, do these comparisons here between the first and second secret and this alleged third secret here at, below it. So we have half in ruins and half trembling. There are also poorly constructed sentences and concepts. The souls of the corpses. Once a corpse is a corpse, the soul has left it. It's not as though it's still there. Another one is sprinkling souls with the blood of the martyrs. Aren't they the martyrs? So it's their own blood. Why or how sprinkle a soul with blood? Weren't they already sprinkled by their martyrdom? Does this make any sense? And if the corpses are the martyrs, why pray for them? If not, who are they? So Jim Larrabee made some very astute observations, which we incorporated in our statement. Number four, this third secret does not seem consistent with the first and second secrets. The vision of hell and the words Our Lady spoke are clear and straightforward. This third secret, on the other hand, is symbolical. How does it correctly mesh? And according to the Vatican, the bishop in white is John Paul II, because he's the bishop that is martyred in their estimation of things. As a matter of fact, let me read this from the official the Vatican proclamation here. As the second millennium gives way to the third, Pope John Paul II has decided to publish the text on the third part of the Secret of Fatima. The 20th century was one of the most crucial in human history, with its tragic and cruel events culminating in the assassination attempt on the sweet Christ on earth. Now a veil is drawn back on a series of events which makes history, and interpreted in depth in a spiritual perspective alien to present-day attitudes, often tainted with rationalism. It's tainted with a lot of other things too. But in 2000, the Abbé Dinant website published a commentary on the Vatican commentary. And it's very interesting to see the thinking behind Vatican officials. Needless to say, it's all about how can we use this third secret to make it be supportive of Vatican II and of our changes. So let's listen to this commentary from the Abbé Dinant. On May 21st, 2000, the Vatican spokesman Navarro Valls revealed the thinking behind the Vatican's forthcoming disclosure of the third secret of Fatima. Quote, "The publication of the prophecy will provide no papal support for the anti-ecumenical traditionalism, which has improperly seized hold of certain aspects of the message of Fatima, speculating in a millenary key on the presumed but not actual contents of this unpublished text. On the contrary, the decision to publish it arose from the conviction that one could not allow Fatima to become hostage to a partisan position." Did you hear what he's saying there? He's saying the traditional Catholics are using this to their advantage. We have to take it away from them. Because they're using it to say the changes are bad, so that's why we're going to reveal it now. Is this because it's going to affect the salvation of souls? No, this Vatican spokesman is saying we have to steal the traditionalist thunder. They're getting away with it. Is this a political move? I'm afraid it is. So let me finish the quote here. When it is published, each aspect of the message of Fatima will recover its just proportions, and taken as a whole, it will be more intelligible for everyone. Also, it's a very long commentary here. I can't even begin, we're just going to scratch the surface here. But let me read here a little bit more. It was simply a matter of repudiating the anti-ecumenical traditionalists, that is to say, those opposed to the spirit of Assisi. Clearly, the Vatican spokesman had in mind the Fatima sect. The expression comes from the Abbe Laurentin, whose members over the last 40 years have been volubly proclaiming the irreconcilable antagonism between the religion of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which is, of course, the Catholic faith, and that of the opening to the world. And then, as it's pointed out in this commentary from the Abbe de Nantes, that the key date of the 20th century is therefore May 13th, 1981. That's the culmination of the history of the 20th century. Why? Because of the assassination attempt on John Paul II that day. So they said, see, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. But there are many, many problems here. And by the way, I am no Fatima expert here. But I remember when I was editor of the Reign of Mary, I had opportunity to study this at length and with as much time as I could, and to try to figure out what is really going on. And it's interesting to note that traditional Catholics almost all repudiate or question the Vatican explanation. Even the ones who are more of the thinking, recognize but resist, he is the Pope, but, don't follow him when he's bad. Even they have serious questions. Father Gruner's Fatima organization to this day holds the secret has not been revealed. There's something very much amiss, and tell us the truth. But will this church that doesn't give us the faith, will it tell us the truth? Will it give us the truth? I don't see how that's going to happen. So I don't know who's lying. I don't know who's outright falsifying things. God alone knows. But as I said, what I do want to mention is that, to say, and repeating myself here, there are serious questions that are still not answered. So, any comments or questions so far? Okay. Yes, Dr. Heschel. Dr. Heschelt asks, why do the people who allegedly knew the secret, why didn't they reveal it? That's a very hard question to answer. You wonder how many people really knew. How wide does this circle go? Now, maybe I'll answer it with this commentary I have on a Mariological Congress that was held in Fatima in 1967. And this is old paper, the Blue Army Center. And it's interesting that there was a talk given by Cardinal Ottaviani. And he was one of the ones that definitely did know the Third Fatima secret. Now, maybe I should briefly try to answer your question. Why didn't they reveal it? If they really knew it and there was some kind of an attempt at secrecy and security, they were told, if you let this out, you know, watch out. You know, there's going to be, it's going to be curtains for you. I don't know. I mean, that's not the way the church should work. But, you know, pretty soon, this person's supposed to know it, and this person's supposed to know it, and this person's supposed to know it. But anyway, this is a commentary published by one of by Father Andrew Foos, director of apparently the Fatima, the Blue Army Center in Fatima in 1967. And he's writing 2 days after this Mariological Congress took place in Rome on February 11th. Okay. The second speaker at the public session was His Eminence Cardinal Ottaviani. The above-mentioned subject justified undoubtedly the great interest and even curiosity with which his talk was looked forward. Of course, His Eminence did not reveal the secret. However, he found the most lively interest of his audience when speaking on some secondary facts concerning the matter. Thus, for instance, he pointed out that he himself had met Lucy at the Carmel of Coimbra in 1955 when he visited Fatima. Lucy had told him that she had received 3 secrets. The first concerning the death of Francisco and Jacinta. Parenthetically here, usually the first secret is supposed to be the vision of hell. That's what most Fatima sources seem to say, but in this commentary it's saying the prophesied death of Francisco and Jacinta. So the first secret concerning, according to this, the death of Francisco and Jacinta, the second referring to the war, and the third was destined to the Holy Father. While the 2 first secrets are already known to the world, Lucy had written down the third one, put it into an envelope, and given it to her bishop. The bishop did not read it, though he was empowered to do so, and sent it through Monsignor Cento at that time, Apostolic Nuncio at Lisbon, to the Holy Father John the 23rd. The Pope, so the Cardinal said, opened the letter written in Portuguese, said that he understood, and passed it on to Cardinal Ottaviani to read it too. Then the Pope closed the letter, sealed it, and had it deposited in the secret archives of the Vatican. Actually, there's another mistake here. It was given under Pius XII, so it's an error here. The cardinal asserted his absolute conviction that Sister Lucy had talked to nobody about the secret. In order to protect her, the congregation for the defense of the doctrine was obliged to forbid anyone to see her. When asked by Cardinal Ottaviani in 1955 why the secret could only be opened in 1960, she answered, because at that time the message will be clearer. So remember Canon, forgetting his name here, Canon, this escapes me. In 1952, it says it's Our Lady's will that it be revealed in 1960. In 1955, Cardinal Ottaviani says, Sister Lucia told me it's supposed to be revealed in 1960 because it will be clearer then. And now in 2000, oh, this was just a gut feeling Sister Lucia had all along. Something does not add up. Questions, comments? Okay, all right. Yes, John. Yes,
Okay, very good commentary there. Right. John Lucio brings out the point that the very fact that there's a sentence in there that Portugal, now let's look at that carefully. It doesn't say all of Portugal. In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be kept. It's a hard sentence to understand because we see Portugal having gone the way of Vatican II. However, unbeknownst to us, there are people holding on to the faith. Now, but the implication of that whole sentence is, if Portugal is going to keep the faith, doesn't that mean that many countries are going to lose the faith? By the way, let me read to you some statistics about Spain. This was in 2000. This is from the Sociological Research Center, and this was reported in The Catholic. According to the study, the majority of Spaniards, close to 85%, claim to be Catholics, but more than 40% virtually never go to Mass. They only go to church for weddings, first communions, and funerals. During the month of March, these interviews were carried out by the survey. 21.5% of those interviewed say they go to church several times a year, and 13.5% say they go about once a month. In addition, 21% said they go to Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. So, let's look at the disconnect. 85% are Catholic. 21% fulfill the most elementary Catholic duty, which is to go to Mass on Sundays and holy days. That's a big gap. The loss of faith. If I had to guess, this is what the third secret of Fatima was all about. The loss of faith, especially in Europe, and I've just proved it to you. You know, Europe still has some very beautiful churches, the most beautiful churches in the world, but they've lost the faith. The Mass was taken away from them, and with that, the faith disappeared. Yes, Peggy. A very good question. What is a reliable source on Sister Lucia? Her life, her death, her sayings, the interviews? I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think some things are being withheld from us. You know, there's things we don't know. I think that there are some outright misrepresentations. And I'd like to also comment on a point that Bishop Dolan made at the keynote address at the Fatima conference this was after he was consecrated bishop, so it was probably 1994. I believe it was 1994. And he said, we must avoid the danger of turning to Sister Lucia as a living oracle, ongoing revelation through all the years while she's alive. Now, it is true that she received some key apparitions after the death of Francisco and Jacinta. Things like the five first Saturdays was revealed. We fully accept that. The church investigated those. Other things about great light that would announce the coming of the Second World War. There were some approved apparitions subsequent to the 1917 revelations. But he said we shouldn't therefore say she's always going to be our direct link to heaven. You know, for ongoing things we need to know. One thing we have to be assured of is that Sister Lucia, if she ever contradicted the faith, we couldn't accept it. Now, I think that, you know, the circumstances in which she was living, first of all, the fact that she was a cloistered Carmelite, that already shuts off a lot of contact, almost all contact from the outside world. So right there is a barrier to knowing things. It's not like the average person could go and interview her while she was still alive. And furthermore, there was the added protection, you know, as Cardinal Taviani mentioned, you know, the church said, you know, to protect you from being inundated by requests, you know, you have to get, you know, special clearance has to be given. So we know all that. So it's just very hard to tell for sure what Sister Lucia did, said, believed. You know, I have a hard time trusting Vatican officials that won't give us the faith to tell me accurately, you know, since Vatican II, what she had to say. The other point Bishop Dolan made is he quoted what Saint Bernadette said, and she did not receive subsequent revelations from Our Lady that I'm aware of after the 18 apparitions at Lourdes. And when she was, you know, a very humble and mortified and pious religious in her convent, and people wanted to keep approaching her as though she was a living link to Our Lady, she would say something like, "What do you do with a broom after you're done using it?" People would say, "Well, you put it behind the door." So he says, "Well, I'm the broom. Our Lady is done using me. Put me behind the door." And I think that's a correct view to have on things. We have to remember that God doesn't, you know, do this continual, ongoing, private revelation, you know, that we have the faith. We have what we need to know from the officially approved messages in Lourdes and La Salette and Fatima. Let's live those and not keep wondering, oh, what's in this possibility? What's in that possibility? You can miss the forest for the trees that way. Yes, John. That could be. The question here is that, unfortunately, even Cardinal Ottaviani, this would have been a year before, or maybe the same year that he wrote his famous letter with Cardinal Bacci attacking the new Mass. Unfortunately, even he went along with the Novus Ordo later on, but even John Lane here is mentioning that he apparently was the point man for saying this secret is not for our times. Actually, let me finish reading just a little bit more of this secondhand commentary from Father Fuhs, F-U-H-S, on that, on what Cardinal Ottaviani said there. So, I left off with him saying, Sister Lucia told me in 1955, it'll be clear, therefore should be revealed in 1960. Okay. John the 23rd took the secret with him to his grave. Paul the 6th, his successor, will reveal it or keep it sealed according to his own good judgment. So maybe that's it. You know, he was saying, well, I mean, imagine the position he was in. Here he's told Our Lady wants to reveal 1960, but then he'll leave it to the Pope's judgment. Well, there's a problem there. You would think that that any Holy Father that loves the faith, well, of course, a true Holy Father that loves the faith would, I believe, have revealed this. It is obvious then that except Sister Lucy, the Holy Father, and Cardinal Ottaviani, nobody knows the secret, and any talk about its contents must be considered mere speculation. So that's what he said in 1967. He says there's only three people that know it, nobody else. It's speculation otherwise. Yes. Yes. Right. Question or comment here was that Cardinal Ratzinger definitely saw it. Yes, he said he read it. The reaction that he had then doesn't seem to connect with the reaction or with what we're reading in the year 2000. And again, as I said, Vatican spokesman said, we're revealing this for political gain, for the political side of it. We can't let, you know, these conservative Catholics keep talking about repenting and using the message of Fatima and saying there's great problems in the church. That's the last thing they want to have said. They're in denial or willful denial of the harm that's come, the devastation since Vatican II. You know, I remember reading somewhere, I forget who made this comment, maybe it was Hutton Gibson. He says, you know, if Vatican II is a spiritual renewal, then pardon the analogy, but the bomb on Hiroshima was urban renewal. You know, if you're going to call this renewal, yes, you may as well have dropped an atom bomb. Okay, our time is running out here. We just have about 5 minutes left. So let's go back to our commentary, page one there. Point number six, the interpretation offered by the Vatican is a whitewash, according to Father Nicholas Gruner's Fatima website, www.fatima.org, as of June 27th of 2000. Father Kramer relates in the commentary that Sister Lucia wrote to John Paul II on May 12, 1982, a year after the assassination attempt, stating that the complete fulfillment of the prophecy has not yet happened. She never referred to the assassination attempt in that letter at all. So Father Kramer continues, the Vatican's interpretation has no support in either the text of the vision or Sister Lucia's understanding of the secret as expressed in her 1982 letter to the Pope. In short, we are looking at a whitewash of the third secret. Oh, there we go. Black, more like blackout. One other, or a couple of other quick points here before we end. In November 17th of 2001, apparently the Vatican was alarmed about all of the questions being raised. So, Archbishop, quote unquote, Archbishop Tarcisio Bertone was sent to interview Sister Lucia one more time. This is now over a year after the revelation has been made, and basically, the account is, well, he went there to clarify and obtain direct information from the visionary, and she looked good at 95. She was lucid, vivacious. You know, you can be sure to trust anything she says here at this point. And what does she say? Everything has been published. There are no more secrets. You weren't there. I wasn't there. And that's why I doubt it. I have to doubt. There are too many things that don't connect here. One other point we should make about the consecration of Russia. You know, the Vatican says it's been done. And they quote Sister Lucia, it's been done. I have a couple of quotes here to to show that it has not been done. Now, remember, going back to the first Fatima secret, or the second Fatima secret, what do we read there? I'd like to, because this one line does relate to it. So this is on the second page, the second side. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and it will be converted, and a certain period of peace will be granted to the world. So, the Vatican would have us believe, and allegedly Sister Lucia would have us believe, that it was done in 1982, or at least by 1984. It's been done. Where is the conversion of Russia? Nothing. Very, very little. I know one person there. I know a small group of traditional Catholics. But is this the conversion? Now, Our Lady made this a cause, or a correlated effect. Once Russia is properly converted, or rather is consecrated, it will convert. So where is the conversion? Sister Lucia had to say this, and this is what contradicts more recent statements. She said in 1983, at the request of John Paul II, Sister Lucy met with the Papal Nuncio, Archbishop Portalupi, Dr. Lacerda, and Father Macias Coelho. During this meeting, Sister Lucy confirmed that the John Paul II's consecration of 1982 did not fulfill the requests of Our Lady. In the act of offering on May 13, 1982, Russia did not appear as being the object of the consecration, and each bishop did not organize in his own diocese a public and solemn ceremony of reparation and consecration of Russia. He simply renewed the consecration of the world done by Pius XII on October 31, 1942. Now, this makes a lot more sense to me. I believe this. She concluded, the consecration of Russia has not been done as Our Lady had demanded it. A year later, on March 25, 1984, John Paul II made an offering wherein he again consecrated the world, not Russia. As with the 1982 consecration, each bishop did not organize in his own diocese a public and solemn ceremony of reparation and consecration of Russia. So it hasn't been done, despite all Vatican claims, and even apparently Sister Lucia's claims, or at least what we're told are Sister Lucia's claims to the contrary. As we know, Sister Lucia died about a year and a half ago, and we certainly have to leave the judgment to God about her. My personal conviction is that she was in a virtual prison. And there's so much we don't know, and I'd like to give her the benefit of the doubt. I pray for her. I pray that she was able to go to heaven. But that, I can't, you know, that's speculation at this point. We do know Our Lady said that she would go to heaven. But at the same time, let's remember this didn't constitute Sister Lucia as an infallible oracle. She didn't become part of the magisterium of the Church by that fact. She and Jacinta and Francisco were most privileged, these wonderful three children that conveyed the message of Fatima to us. But let's remember, our Church is not built on visions and private revelations as the essential part. They help our faith, but our Lord gave us divine revelation. It has been infallibly communicated to us by the Church, with which He promised to be with all time. So, anyway, we'll take one more question, that'd be it. Yes. Right. Right. Yeah, again, the comment here was it's clear that it has something to do with the bombshell that we call Vatican II. And Blessed Mother, help us. You know, if we're meant to know that, we'll know. But if not, we have enough to go on to live our faith and to live the message of Fatima. So turning the microphone over to Father, thank you for your time and attention.